This is the voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is Small Business Association of DC Tax Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. In addition to listening to the voice of DC cab drivers on the radio, you can listen live at WUST1120.com or on your phone at 712-432-6620. Again, at WUST1120.com or on your phone at 712-432-6620. And for all the past shows, including this one starting tomorrow, you can find the archives at thefightback.org. This evening, we review the events of the last 5 months and discuss the growth of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers with board member Haimanot Bizuayu. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied Cab, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Seasons, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. We begin our look back over the last 5 months with a review of the Medallion Bill. The Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers was already in existence when, on March 15th, Ward 5 Councilmember Harry Thomas introduced the Medallion Bill, along with Ward 8 Councilmember Marion Barry, at-large Councilmember Michael Brown, and Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander. We now turn to an audio clip from the March 15th legislative meeting of the D.C. Council.
Councilmember Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I apologize. I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues and that got picked up. But today I am proud and pleased to be joined by Councilmembers Michael Brown and Marion Barry to introduce the Professional Taxicab Standards and Medallion Establishment Act of 2011. This bill requires that the District of Columbia Taxicab Commission to professionalize taxicab services in the District of Columbia, establish a taxicab medallion system, and implement uniform standards for the taxicab industry in the District of Columbia. I know my co-introducers would like to speak to the measure, and so I'm going to say a couple of things, a couple of critical issues that I think are important that we will be looking at. This medallion means that a metal plate be designated and issued by the commission, affixed to a taxicab, authorizing it to operate within the jurisdiction of the commission or any other jurisdiction that authorizes operation for vehicle hire. And I think that's very important that we look at that information and have that included. Saying that, I will leave room now for my colleagues to speak to the measure. Mr. Barry.
Mr. Barry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Today I'm pleased to join Councilman Thomas and Alexander introducing the Professional Taxicab Standards Medallion Establishment Act of 2011. I agree with Mr. Thomas that the taxicab industry plays an important role in District of Columbia economic vitality. The medallion system is used to regulate cabs in Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, and other cities. I've met with several drivers from the coalition. I support the medallion system because it would give them an opportunity. Cab drivers have no retirement except Social Security. They have no equity in their cab because the cab depreciate. They have no equity in anything. This will give them an opportunity to get equity. Well, I recall I read in 1937, New York City introduced this system. At that time, it was about $10,000 at that time, and now they're worth between $200,000 to $70,000. The medallion system in New York, you go to the bank, you borrow money like you're borrowing for a house. And I look forward to pushing on this, working on this, and I hope that the majority of you all will join in this effort to give equity and equality to our cab drivers.
Thank you. Councilman Michael Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the former chair of the taxicab, a special committee on taxicabs, one of the things we found is that
About approximately 90% of our cab drivers in the city do not live in the District of Columbia. So any piece of legislation that will encourage more district drivers is a good thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. This will be referred to co-sponsorship. Alexandria? This will be referred to the Committee on Public Works and Transportation.
That was from the March 15th legislative meeting of the D.C. Council. 2 days after the introduction of the medallion bill, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission held a sudden meeting. As if the timing of the meeting wasn't problematic enough, then-Chair Leon Swain wore a gun, and then-General Counsel Dena Reed attempted to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith. Here's a report from the March 17th meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission.
Who walks into what is expected to be a heated meeting packing heat? No less than the chairman of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. As he entered Thursday's DCTC meeting, Leon Swain was asked if he was wearing a gun, and he responded, "Of course I am."
Hi, Mr. Swain. Hey, Pete Tucker with the Fight Back. Are you carrying a gun?
Of course I am.
Why is that?
Swain was quickly ushered away from reporters by Dena Reed, DCTC General Counsel.
Why? Okay, you're not going to have an interview later. Okay.
Ms. Reed turned her attention to Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith, telling him he was prohibited from recording.
Why can't there be a camera in here?
Because the commission is not... No, you're not going to record me either. I'm not going to be on right now.
Is this a public meeting?
It is a public meeting, and you're welcome to stay and observe.
Okay.
You cannot record the meeting unless the commission allows you to do so. It does not. I don't have to show you anything at this point.
Can you state your name?
My name is Dena Reed. I'm the general counsel of the commission.
Unless you can show me specifically where it says that.
The commission rules do not provide for... I can't show you anything because it's not written in there to allow for cameras. If it's not... Okay, then we won't be having a meeting. If the cameras don't leave the room, we're not going to have the meeting.
Since when?
Since right now.
We've covered these... But before with the problem.
I don't know.
Sure.
You haven't. You've been here. Yes, you have. You've been here.
Absolutely.
You haven't recorded. You have not had cameras in these rooms.
It's never been a problem. So if you can, explain to me the statute that says I can't be here, if you can show it to me, then I will gladly leave. I have no problem leaving, but if it's a public meeting, you can't just throw me out.
Public meeting, you're welcome to stand up during the meeting.
I will.
Ms. Reed pulled Chairman Swain out of the room to discuss how to proceed. Taxi cab drivers, who had at least as many outside the cramped hearing room as in, complained to the commissioners on the dais about the lack of notice given for the meeting, an apparent violation of DCTC regulation. Commissioner Paul Cohn responded.
I love the confrontation point. I love the smell of napalm. It's good.
Would you expect less at this point?
Of course not.
Thursday's DCTC meeting came just 2 days after taxicab drivers were caught off guard by medallion legislation introduced by council members Harry Thomas, Michael Brown, and Marion Barry. D.C.'s taxicab industry is unique in that it has a large number of independent owner-operators, as well as small companies and associations. The medallion system could threaten this by paving the way for a few big companies to move in and dominate the market, as has happened in city after city. While Chairman Swain remained outside debating whether to allow cameras at the public meeting, Larry Franco, chairman of Dominion of Cab Drivers and the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxicab Drivers, responded to Commissioner Cohn's combative statement.
That's the shame of all of us. That's the crying shame of all of us, is that we are sitting here and everyone else is sitting over there on your side, you know, and there's no meeting in between.
That's right.
You've never invited us to the table for any issue whatsoever, including today, which is not on the website.
Exactly.
That was from the March 17th public meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, where then-Chair Leon Swain wore a gun, and then-General Counsel Dena Reed attempted to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith. The push for medallions continued with a March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building. The event was put together by the so-called Taxicab Drivers, Owners, and Fleet Owners Coalition, which was headed up by John Ray, the former council member turned lobbyist. Ray's group had just a few speakers, including the wife of D.C. taxi mogul Jerry Schaefer and Ward 8 council member Marion Barry. Drivers got wind of the press conference and showed up in large numbers to express their disapproval of the medallion bill. Here's a report from the March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building.
Shame on you! 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 Shame on you!
John Ray, a lobbyist and former D.C. council member, does not represent the interests of D.C. taxicab drivers. And he's clear on that. Sort of. Standing in front of the John A. Wilson building on Wednesday, Ray told taxicab drivers, "I'm not trying to represent the interests of everybody." Ray's comments came directly following a press conference put on by the group he represents, the so-called Taxicab Drivers Owners and Fleet Owners Coalition. In a phone conversation on Thursday, in response to the fightback's initial question regarding how much he was being paid, Ray said, "Why the hell do you keep asking this? It's none of your business how much I get paid by the hour." The subject of Wednesday's press conference was the recently introduced taxicab medallion legislation, which Ray played a big role in writing. Taxicab drivers turned out in large numbers, despite being given little, if any, notice. The sentiment of the drivers was unmistakable. They were overwhelmingly opposed to the medallion legislation. Ward 5 Councilmember Harry Thomas, Ward 8 Councilmember Marion Barry, and at-large Councilmember Michael Brown introduced the legislation, and Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander co-sponsored it. D.C.'s taxicab industry is unique in that it has many independent owner-operators, small companies, and associations. The introduction of medallions could quickly lead to a consolidation of the market, as has happened in city after city. Wednesday, supporters of the medallion legislation worked hard to pit drivers against one another, old drivers versus new ones, drivers who live in the district versus those who don't. But the most appalling aspect of the press conference was former Mayor Marion Barry's comments. He began by complimenting the drivers, but quickly it turned ugly and racist.
Wait a minute, hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up.
We listen to you, Mr. Mayor.
Hold up. Hold on. The way the process works, council members can introduce legislation. And the time to come if you oppose it is when we have our hearing. You know, we ought to set the example in Washington about how we can disagree without being disagreeable, right? You cab drivers are the hardest working people in this city, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have any benefits at all. You don't have any retirements at all.
Okay.
The meter system is unfair. They ought to rechange the meters and make downtown area the highest paying so y'all make some money,
there
right?
There you go.
That's what you ought to be talking about. And wait till the hearing comes to express your disagreement.
In a
democracy, won't be
long.
Wait a minute. You know I've been with you, don't you?
Yeah.
You know I've been with you, don't you?
You better be.
You know I've been with you, don't you?
You better be.
And I'm still with you.
You better be.
All right.
Wait a minute.
For those of you who are not from America, we welcome you. But we do things just a little bit differently here in Washington, that's all. We have disagreements without attacking anybody. We have disagreements without shouting down anybody. That's how we do it, right? And it works that way.
Before Barry spoke, John Ray kicked off the press conference. In concluding his remarks, he shouted at the drivers, "Shame on you."
Good morning. We are meeting here this morning, and we're going to have a number of meetings, and we're going to have a number of events over the next several months. The next one of these to be in May on a Saturday. As you know, there's been introduced into the City Council a bill that will do a number of things, including the creation of medallions, creating a new commission, a three-person commission, to make sure the laws and regulations that govern taxi cabs are effective. The bill set forth certain standards for taxi cabs to make the riding public have a taxi cab system that is more friendly to the riding public. The bill is not perfect. There will be public hearings that will be held on the bill. Anyone who wants to come down and testify can testify. The city council will ultimately make the decision about what kind of bill we can have. Now, there are many forces in the city that involve in the taxi cab industry. There's those who have been here for a long time driving cabs, some over 50 years. They cannot afford to pay $150,000 for a medallion. They just simply cannot. The bill recognized that they cannot, and the bill sets a price that these ladies and gentlemen can't afford. Today, what we're trying to do is to start building a coalition. No one is asking you whether you want to be a part of this coalition today or tomorrow night. That's a decision for you to make. But we're trying to build a coalition. So we're going to hear today. Shame on you.
Shortly before John Ray departed, a driver had this to say to him.
You are for monopolization. Yeah. You are for unemployment. You are opening opportunity for unemployment.
You're trying
to put our kids away from school. We're citizens. Yeah. Yeah. We got a United States citizen kids. We're raising up our kids, our children, our history. If you're trying to pull me out from the street, our kids will be behind.
That was from the March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building. As we look back at the last 5 months, beginning with the introduction, the March 15th introduction of the medallion bill in the D.C. Council, and the growth of the pushback and the growth of the Small Business Association of D.C. taxi cab drivers. On April 27th, former council member turned lobbyist John Ray held a meeting to discuss the medallion bill with selected drivers and fleet owners at the offices of Jerry Schaefer at 3399 Benning Road Northeast. Initially, Schaefer told me that I was welcome to attend the meeting. However, when Ray arrived, he threw me out and then proceeded to throw out most of the drivers in attendance, including Ermias Wilsenu, who I caught up with standing outside Schaefer's garage. Wednesday, there was an important meeting at the offices of D.C. taxicab mogul Jerry Schaefer at 3399 Benning Road Northeast. More than a dozen drivers and fleet owners met to discuss the medallion legislation. Among them was Mohammed Momin, owner of Silver Cab. Mr. Momin said to me that he had some concerns about the medallion bill, but overall he supported it, so long as he received enough medallions. Initially, Mr. Schaefer told me I was welcome to attend the meeting. However, John Ray, the former council member and leading medallion mouthpiece, kicked me out. About an hour later, Ray kicked out nearly all of the drivers, including Ermias.
You just came out of a contentious meeting at 3399 Benning Road Northeast, Schaefer's various cab companies, District, American, Washington, Consolidated, all these cab companies. I was in the meeting at the very beginning. And Jerry Schaefer said it was fine for me to be there. And then John Ray, who's the leading mouthpiece for the taxi cabs, he told me I had to get out, and he was very agitated and upset.
Talk about, you came a bit later, talk about the meeting and what you experienced.
Yeah, I was in the meeting. When I get there, he was discussing about the bill. What he said, clearly, if you guys live in out of state, like in Maryland or Virginia, you don't have any chance. Even you shouldn't have been in this meeting. We asked him why. He said that's the way it is. You know, the only people have to be benefit, the DC resident. We told him again and again, you know, we've been driving minimum 5 years and people driving until 30 years living out of the state. So these people should get chance, you know, own their business. He said, no, I don't support that idea. Finally, you know, I raised a question. What I asked him, you know, this bill in general term has discrimination. And then he cannot answer that question. He's just shouting, just cursing us. And then finally, we just go out like this.
That was Ermias Wilsenu, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers, standing outside Jerry Schaefer's offices at 3399 Benning Road Northeast on April 27th. As we look back here on the last 5 months of organizing against the medallion bill and other issues here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, the Small Business Association got word of another private meeting with John Ray on June 12th at Guildfield Baptist Church in Northeast DC. I attempted to attend the meeting but was kicked out yet again. As I stood in the parking lot outside the church, I caught up with John Ray, or at least I tried to, as he arrived late to his own meeting.
Friday, a private meeting on the medallion bill was held at Guildfield Baptist Church in Northeast D.C. Mohammed Momen, owner of Silver Cab, attended the gathering but declined to comment on why he was there. Also present was a driver from Noble Cab, who refused to give his name but claimed to be high up in the company. Before the meeting began, I was told to leave by an individual who repeatedly refused to give his name, then claimed it was Peter Johnson. Also in attendance was John Ray, the former council member turned lobbyist. Mr. Ray has stated that he played a big role in writing the medallion bill. As he got out of his car and headed into the church, I asked Mr. Ray if he could comment on his legislation. Mr. Ray, Pete Tucker with the Fight Back. You want to have a comment? You're going to another private meeting? You want to have a comment? Why won't you meet with drivers publicly? Nothing to say, Mr. Ray? Why all the closed-door meetings? Sir? You've claimed to write the legislation. It's very public legislation. You won't offer any comment? What do you have to hide? No comment, Mr. Ray. An individual named David became upset at my questioning of John Ray.
He already told me, okay?
Your name?
Don't worry about it. I will let you know later. Okay?
Why won't you let me know now?
Sir?
Who are you?
My name?
Yeah.
David.
David?
Yes.
What? Who do you represent?
I don't represent nobody. I represent myself.
Your last name?
I don't have to tell you anything. Okay. Are you a police?
I'm a journalist. I don't care.
I go and get the paper from police and ask me through the police, okay? You have a nice day. Thank you. Bye.
What's wrong with my asking John Ray a question outside?
I don't know. You ask him, he can answer you. Don't ask him.
So what? You're the one that came up to me, not the other way around.
No. I just say hi to him. That's it.
No, you came up to me and told me to
No, you can't come here. They already told me.
I'm not trying to, am I?
Okay, have a nice day.
Good. Thank you, David. And who you drive for?
No, I'm not a cab driver.
Then what's your role here?
Don't worry about it.
That was David, who declined to give his last name, said he was not a driver, and refused to say why he was at the meeting.
That report was from a private June 12th meeting with John Ray and select drivers. The subject of the meeting was the medallion legislation, which Mr. Ray played a significant part in writing, yet he was unwilling to publicly discuss the bill. As Ray continued with his secret private meetings, the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers continued to organize against the medallion bill. Drivers passed out thousands of flyers and had countless conversations with passengers. Then the media weighed in with several important pieces, including the lead May 22nd Sunday Washington Post editorial entitled Taxi Trouble in the District. At the gas station 15th and U Streets Northwest, driver Akinola Adetayo read the first paragraph of the Post editorial.
Taxi trouble in the district.
Last year, analyst for DC Chief Financial Officer Natwan M. Gandhi owned the true custody of how taxicab medallions have worked in other cities. Here is what they found. Windfall profits for a small group of people, an overall decline in service with longer waits and higher fares, and a system open to corruption. The report has been largely overlooked. Its harsh findings should serve as a cautionary tale for city officials contemplating bringing a medallion system to the district.
That was from the May 22nd Washington Post editorial entitled Taxi Trouble in the District. Drivers continued to organize, to spread the word, to pass out flyers, and the pressure on the D.C. Council continued to grow. Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells, then chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, had committed to holding a hearing on the medallion bill before the council's July recess. But in mid-June, he reversed himself. Here's a clip of an extended interview with Mr. Wells. The entire interview can be found at thefightback.org.
Well, I've decided not to hold a hearing for a while, and what the council is about to go into summer recess, and I want to use that period to look at what are the problems with our taxi cab system and what's broken and what needs to be fixed. If you look at the taxi cab medallion bill, it really starts with a solution, not necessarily with what are the problems that need to be fixed. So at this time, I'm going to hold off holding a hearing, also because there's a lot of controversy around this right now, and there's not an urgency that I see to move forward with a medallion bill at this time.
That was Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells, then chair of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation. Initially, Mr. Wells had said that he would be holding a hearing on the medallion bill before the July recess, but the pressure that drivers applied by organizing and spreading the word and passing out flyers helped change Mr. Wells' mind. I'm joined in studio by Haimanot Bizuayu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Welcome, Haimanot.
Thank you for having me.
I want to, as we look back at these 5 months from the introduction of the medallion bill, March 15th, I want to talk about that. But also, maybe we could start with, there was an organizational foundation upon which to push back against the medallion bill, because the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers was already in existence. It hadn't been in existence for all that long at that time. But I was wondering if you could talk about the Small Business Association, how it came to be, how it came into existence in the first place.
Well, thank you, Pete. Thank you for this opportunity. Well, Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers came into existence a year ago. When we started as a group of driver-owned company leaders approached the existing driver association, like that of Dominion of Cab Drivers and District of Columbia Taxi Cab Drivers Associations, and we discussed about forming one umbrella organization, so that we, instead of fighting on an individual basis, to fight for the drivers and for our livelihood in one front. So, fortunately, the leaders of those driver associations agreed, and also the leaders of the driver-owned companies also agreed on that idea. And we, with the help of Mr. Ken Williams, who is a very number one player in making that happen, we formed the. First of all, we were just running this association as Driver Dignity, and then we, after we registered the Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers and the DCRA, we use the name Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers since that time.
Can you talk about, so then March 15th occurs, and drivers didn't know what was happening. It was the, I just happened to be at the DC Council for, I don't even remember what, but I had no idea this was coming. And the medallion bill was introduced. We played that introduction by council members Harry Thomas and Marion Barry, Michael Brown. It was co-sponsored by Yvette Alexander. out of nowhere. You had not been consulted. I haven't spoken to a single driver who was consulted about this medallion bill. And that was March 15th. It looked like it was very likely to pass. Now it doesn't even look like it's going to get a hearing anytime in the immediate future. That takes an incredible amount of organizing and work. Talk about what has taken place from March 15th.
Well, to be honest with you, we were very lucky enough. I mean, drivers were lucky to happen to be. I mean, for you to be there as that on March 15th, when the bill was introduced, you were the eye and ears of the taxi cab drivers at that time. And you continue to be, and I really thank you for that. As you said, when the bill was introduced on March 15, you contacted, I believe, Larry and myself, and when we passed out the copy of the bill. And since that day, we spread the word to the other leaders of the association, and we start working on. And we really put up a very effective opposition to this bill. And as you played on your on the show earlier, that Mr. there was a pressure among the media and also public of the riding public, and Mr. Wells was forced or convinced that bringing this medallion bill for a hearing, you know, will not be a good idea, and he decided not to hold a hearing. And since his removal from the chairmanship of the committee, Ms. Merice, now she's the chairman of the committee, she decided to do the same thing, and the medallion bill, at least until today, is not going to be come for a hearing. So that's an effort which was so done by drivers and the Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers.
In addition to the voice of DC cab drivers, which is here Sunday nights on WUST from 7 to 8 p.m., and then archived at thefightback.org, there's the Saturday night phone conference, which is part in Amharic and part in English. Talk a little bit about this organizing tool, and I'll give out the numbers for it in a moment.
Well, yeah, I want to say this to the drivers of Washington, D.C. Many times before they try to take away our business from us, and with the help of, with the effort and with very strong opposition and struggle of probably preformed associations, or we still have our business on our hand. And this medallion bill was really was introduced by very powerful people, including those people from the the city council, who have a very big influence at Wilson Building. And it is only because of our organization, our organizational efforts, that we were able to stop this medallion bill. So without we being organized, tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, anytime in the future, anyone can introduce such kind of bill or any other kind of bill which will take away our business. So the key here is to be organized. So I encourage drivers to be organized and to become a member of the Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers in order to spread the word about the association. In addition to this, the Dominion, the voice of the
DC
voice of
the
cab drivers. Yeah. We a group of individuals who put their own time and effort start a show, a teleconference show, every Saturday from 9 to 11, and through the purpose of that show is just to spread the word that there is an organization which is fighting for the livelihood of the drivers, and by turn to bring to make them to recruit them as a member of that association. So, being a member, becoming a member of that association, is not going to only protect our individual rights, but also our livelihood. And it's very, very important that each and every one to spread the word that this association exists, and to spread the word, also to anyone who wants to become a member of the association, to go to the one of the driver-owned companies, like that of UVC, United Virgins Consortium, which consists of six cab companies, Allied, Blackpool, Luxury, Seasons, UCC, Swift, and Seasons, and also Grand Challenger, which is Camel and Wonder Cab, also Grand Travelers and Grand Camel, in any one of the driver-owned companies. And also they can go through the other two associations, driver associations, to come through them to become the member of the District of Columbia Taxi Cab Drivers Association.
That's the voice of Haimanat Biziwayo, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And the phone conference information, the Saturday night phone conference for drivers interested in staying up on the latest in the industry, you can join the Saturday night 9 to 11 p.m. phone conference, which is conducted in both Amharic and English. I've been working with Ermias Wasenu to produce the English segment of the phone conference, and you can join in each Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m. by dialing 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100, and then entering the passcode, which is 140465. The code is 140465. All this information will be posted starting tomorrow at thefightback.org. And I'd give out the telephone number for WST tonight, but there's some phone difficulties. Haimanat, we're going to turn to, in a moment, the June 1st rally outside the Wilson building. I wonder if you could say a few words about that before we turn to a clip from that.
The purpose of the June 1st rally was just to create an awareness of the taxi cab industry in Washington, D.C., and also to make the public aware that the city council was introducing the bill, which is going to be really bad for drivers and also for the riding public. In the name of professionalizing the industry, there were some impersonal interest, and if that bill was really adopted, that it will affect, it will only benefit a few individuals like that of Schaefer and other cab company owners, a few of them. So we were the only purpose was just to create an awareness for the public and also the drivers.
We've played a number of the speeches that were given that day, and they can all be found at thefightback.org. But here's what you had to say outside the John A. Wilson building at the June 1st rally.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association, and name is the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful. And as Mr. Indri said here, you see, the Taxi Cab Establishment Act of 1985 calls for three representation for taxi cab drivers at the commission. Right now, there is none. Without our representation at the tax commission, the rewriting of the 3031 is not legal. So they don't have that authority to rewrite the 3031. So the rewriting of 3031 must stop.
Wednesday, June 1st, hundreds of DC taxicab drivers rallied at Freedom Plaza in front of the John A. Wilson building to call for an end to the attacks on the industry. Drivers highlighted two main issues, the medallion bill and the attempted change to Title 31, the legal framework that governs the taxicab industry. The rally was organized by the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers. Haimanat Biziwayo is a board member of the group as well as chair of UVC. Biziwayo said, "Our industry is under attack by the council and the DC Taxicab Commission."
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming here today. I have nothing much to say other than reminding each and every one of you that our industry is under attack. It is under attack by the council, and it's attacked by the DC Taxi Cab Commission. In order to stop that attack, we have to be one and work together. Remember what happened 3 years ago when we were not working together. I don't want the same thing to happen. I don't think either of you the same thing to happen. So the only thing I say is, please, let's go out and educate the public what this medallion bill is about. It is not about professionalism. It is not about bringing good service to the public. It is an attack on drivers. It is bringing a poor service for the residents of Washington, D.C. and its visitors. Tell me, you are the number one people who can be, we can witness that. Go in the nighttime to the Adams Morgan area. Go to the Georgetown area. Anywhere for that matter, to U Street. Tell me, how many people are on the street looking for a cab when the bars close at nighttime? Do you think cutting the number of cabs will improve that service? You tell me. So, as far as I'm concerned, this bill was written in such a way to benefit a few individuals who are close friends of some of the council members. So let us be together and fight it back. Thank you very much.
In addition to the medallion bill, one of the main issues raised at the June 1st rally was the rewriting of Title 31, the regulatory code that governs the taxicab industry. At the May 11th meeting of the D.C. Taxicab Commission, driver Abebe Abadi questioned then-interim chair Dina Reed about her amendment, which would require drivers to buy a new car every 5 years. Here's a report from the May 11th meeting of the D.C. Taxicab Commission. Title 31 of the District of Columbia Municipal Regulations offers the legal framework that governs the taxicab industry. Wednesday, May 11th, interim D.C. Taxicab Commission Chair Dina Reed held a hearing on her proposed amendments to Chapters 6 and 8 of Title 31. Ms. Reed's many suggested changes include forcing drivers to buy a new vehicle every 5 years, as well as giving hack inspectors much greater authority, including the ability to levy a $1,000 fine and even revoke a driver's license for tires that are over or underinflated. The D.C. Taxicab Commission, which does not have a single taxicab driver on it, has held just one public hearing on Ms. Reed's proposed amendments. At the May 11th public hearing, signs posted on the walls of the Taxicab Commission read, "No television cameras, no videotaping, no audio taping." In a phone conversation with the Fight Back, interim chair Dina Reed explained that having the public meeting recorded would be disruptive because there are taxicab drivers who take a different attitude when a camera is on. At the May 11th hearing, Abebe Abadi questioned the interim chair about her proposal to force drivers to buy a new car every 5 years. Ms. Reed responded that she was attempting to modernize the fleet.
Abebe Abadi. I give my testimony, but I was asked Mr. Reed, who wrote this provision, now it comes that Ms. Reed. So what was the purpose when you write, what was your intention to order us or to have a provision to have 5 years old car? What was the problem? What was your intention? Why you need us to want 5 years old car? Why you introduced to have a 5 years age limit car in the District of Columbia?
That was one of the recommendations that came out of the discussions.
Yeah, what was your intention for doing that?
To modernize the fleet. So 5 years is not reasonable, acceptable. That's what a comment period is for. But to relook at what is a reasonable age of the fleet.
I'll repeat again this 5 years. In front of Department of Transportation. Yeah. In DC we don't have comprehensive coverage. We can't obtain a new car without the insurance company improve their coverage. So this needs to be dropped.
That was Abebe Abadi speaking to then-interim chair Dina Reed at the May 11th meeting of the D.C. Taxicab Commission regarding his concerns about the proposed changes to Title 31. The Small Business Association of D.C. Taxicab Drivers organized a petition against the hasty rewrite of Title 31. In a matter of days, the petition had more than 900 signatures, but when drivers attempted to deliver it to the Taxicab Commission, they were pushed out, the doors were locked, the lights were turned off, the police were called, and drivers were referred to as a mob. Here's a report on the May 27th incident at the D.C. Taxicab Commission. A little before 1 p.m. on Friday, a dozen individuals attempted to present interim D.C. Taxicab Commission Chair Dina Reed with a petition signed by more than 900 licensed D.C. taxicab drivers. The signatories oppose Ms. Reed's attempt to rewrite the taxicab industry's legal framework, or Title 31. If approved by the Taxicab Commission, Ms. Reed's proposed changes will do many things, including require drivers to buy a new car every 5 years, grant greater authority to hack inspectors, and cause cab drivers to have their licenses suspended, not renewed, or even revoked for having tires that are over or underinflated. On Friday, what should have been a simple processing of the petitions instead resulted in drivers being locked out and me being pushed out. After the doors to the taxicab commission were locked, the office lights were turned off and the police were called. Interim Chair Dina Reed referred to the group as a mob. Nathan Price is a board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers and chair of the DC Professional Taxicab Drivers Association. As the drivers approached the taxicab commission, Price described what was taking place.
This is the drivers bringing the flyers in, protesting the revision of Chapter 6 and 8 by the interim chairperson, Dina Reed. We feel this is a frontage to the driver's civil rights in the District of Columbia, as well as the United States. So we're hoping that they will repeal these actions.
That was Nathan Price as he and others approached the D.C. Taxicab Commission in an attempt to deliver a petition with more than 900 signatures in opposition to Dina Reed's attempt to rewrite Title 31. Rather than accept the petition, security for the Taxicab Commission locked the drivers out and physically pushed me out.
Hold on. I'm a journalist. This is a public... Sir, I'm a journalist.
I can stop you from coming in.
You please do not touch me.
I tell you, hold up.
No.
I can stop you from coming in.
Your name?
My name.
No, please don't touch... Your name? No, this is a public... Excuse me, your name? You just... Sir, your name that you just hit my mic and you hit me?
Step back.
Sir, tell you your
sir,
name.
I need you to step
your
back out.
Tell me your name.
Sir, I need you to step back.
Okay, what is your name?
Sir, no
Please don't touch me. Oh, tell me
you
your name. If you tell me your name, maybe.
I need you to step back out.
Please take your hands off me.
Hold on.
Please take your hands. If you want to state your name, that's one thing.
Come on, Price. Step back.
Will someone give their name?
Step back.
So you're shutting the door, but you won't state your names.
That was an unnamed D.C. Taxicab Commission security guard throwing drivers and myself out of the office. While this was happening, several Taxicab Commission staffers looked on, but none intervened. This may call into question the judgment of those at the highest levels of the Taxicab Commission, not just the security guard. In fact, most troubling of all may have been the conduct of the interim chair herself. After keeping drivers locked out for half an hour, Ms. Reed finally allowed two driver representatives to meet with her, Nathan Price and Hymenat Bizuayu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers and chair of UVC. According to both Price and Bizuayu, Dina Reed referred to the drivers as a mob. Here are some of the voices of the so-called mob as they stood locked outside the DC Taxicab Commission. We begin with Hymenat Bizuayu.
Well, we are here to submit a petition which was signed by more than 900 drivers. In opposition to the proposed amendment of Chapter 6 and 8 of the Title 31. But it looks like they don't want to receive these petitions.
The door is locked?
The door is locked and they push everybody outside.
Nathan Price.
They should have allowed us to go over into the room to sit down so she can meet with us. As simple as that. This whole way we are being treated. You know, we are the drivers. It's our assessment fund that pays for this operation. And that is the travesty. So therefore, this is why the drivers need to stand up and start to fight. Because if they come and they object loud enough, this will change. If not, it will never change. You will always get disrespected. That's just the way it is.
It was interesting that no one was willing to give their name. They're willing to push drivers out, push reporters out, but they won't give a single name to say who's doing this.
You know, they have created policies that you don't see in Holly in any government agency. This is a public service agency. So therefore the public should be invited to come in, you know, but the way they do it, they treat drivers like they did cattle.
Hymenat, you have more than 900 signatures of people who oppose Title 31. Could you explain what Title 31 is and why there's so much opposition to it?
Well, in the first place, Title 31, they were trying to rewrite the Title 31, especially Chapter 6 and 8, in the such a way that it's going to be very damaging to the drivers. I think the main reason for that is because we don't have any representation in the Taxicab Commission, according to the law, which, the 1985 Tax Cab Establishment Act, and also the DC code, I don't exactly remember the number, I think 50-503 or something like that. So whenever rules and regulations created without the participation of all stakeholders, especially the cab drivers here, the taxi drivers here, is always problematic. So what we are asking is to be part of the process so that we can put our ideas and we can be part of this process. That's the only thing, as simple as that. And I don't know why time after time and time after time they're just pushing us away.
How a part of the process do you feel standing behind this locked door right now?
Well, I am sad. I'm saddened. I'm a cab driver, and I'm here, which it's a body which regulates the taxi cab industry. And instead of listening to us, instead of asking why we are here, they just lock the door. They kick us out, all of the drivers outside, and lock the door. And I don't think that's right. And we have to, if necessary, we have to take this to the next level.
The D.C. Taxi Cab Commission oversees the taxi cab industry, and there's not a single taxi cab driver on it?
That's true. Nothing. None whatsoever. I mean, all the acts and the law states that there should be three representatives from the taxi cab industry which have first-hand experience in driving taxi cab, but there is none. And in addition to that, when you write rules and regulations, especially there should be at least one on the panel and the rules from the taxi cab drivers. But there is none. There is none, and that is what makes the amendment not acceptable by the drivers. And that's the reason why over 900 drivers signed this petition so far. And from my understanding, more is coming in the next couple of days. So maybe it will be submitted the next Tuesday.
And all these comments are due by May 31st. This has been very much rushed. Wednesday, May 11th was the one hearing on this issue right here on the walls. It said no video. Oh, we still have? No, I think they took it down now. It said no video recording, no audio recording. And this was the one public hearing that's been had Wednesday, May 11th. Comments are due Wednesday, May 31st. And these are, there's not a single taxi cab driver on the Taxi Cab Commission, but these proposals are industry-altering proposals. These changes to Title 31, which is the legal framework that governs the taxi cab industry.
Yes, that's right. That's what we are saying. Holiday is coming. If we don't want to submit this, our opposition to the amendment of this Title 31 by today, we are timing is running out. I mean, in the first place, they gave us just a short notice, a short day for to submit our comments, and we drivers scrambled to collect petition signatures for this petition and submit it in opposition to the amendments. But it looks like they are not willing to see that petition here. I don't know.
Anyone else want to add their thoughts as we stand outside here, locked outside the DC Taxi Cab Commission?
Yeah, okay. Zamir. I don't think this is a public office. The way they've been treated, they've been just pushed out. Nobody tells name and no reason. This is a public office, and why they are doing this? If they are making the law, as my colleague says, that there has to be some drivers included into the commission. If it says three, has to be three. If it says one, has to be one. And as I heard, there is not a single person who represents the taxi cab industry in District of Columbia. So has to be according to the law, whatever that is. Otherwise, it's just a discrimination for these people who are just making their living driving taxi cab part-time or partially or entirely. So I will just urge the DC City Council to take care of this issue and make it kind of even for everybody, and also the city attorney to look into this incident, what happened here today, whereas more than 900 people signed the petition who are licensed cab driver in this city, and they refused to accept their petition and kick them out of the door and lock it.
That was Samir and others who were locked outside of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission at the end of May, attempting to hand in more than 900 signatures on a petition in opposition to Title 31. Both Jaime López Uyayu and Ali were among the drivers there, both of whom join me in studio here on the Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers. Talk about this petition as well as the organizing that went into it. That's as we look back at these 5 months since the introduction of the Medallion Bill and now also with Title 31, it's not without accident that the Medallion Bill has been not necessarily defeated but put on hold, and the status of Title 31 is unclear, but that it hasn't gone into effect is also not an accident. A lot of organizing took place. But talk about this petition gathering and this event.
Well, it took a lot of people to be on the streets, talking to the drivers, explaining to them what this Medallion Bill is going to do in order to get those over 900 petitions.
In this case, it wasn't the Medallion Bill, but the Title 31.
Title 31, I'm sorry. because the changes that they are trying to make to the Title 31, it's going to affect almost every driver. It's more than likely is going to put a lot of us out of owning our own cabs because I don't think any of us at this point are ready or able to go out there and buy a new cab because after they put the meters in, they cut our income down by at least 30%. And this basically has affected almost every driver. I am pretty sure all the drivers, without exception, has been affected by this low rate. And now they are basically trying to make changes to the Title 31, requiring the drivers to go out and buy a new car every 5 years. This is not going to happen. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot force the drivers to go out there and buy a new car while you are cutting their income.
Hmm. Hamina?
This 900 petition were collected in a few days. That's the reason why we are saying being organized and becoming a member of the association is very important, because we say that over and over again. Because if there are almost 6,000 drivers, and we collected only almost 1,000 in a couple of days, but if we have each and every driver as a member of the association, it should be easier to reach to them, and we could have collected thousands of signatures in a couple of days. And it's very important. It's important to become a member and to give us their contact information. If you have a contact information of each cab driver, it will be easier for us to access them, to reach to them. But I want to add one thing here. This, in addition to this petition, a written general statement and a detailed opposition of each section of the proposed Title 31 on Chapter 6, 8, and also
5 and 9.
5 and 9, I believe, was a written detailed opposition to those were submitted by each and every driver-owned company. So that's also submitted, legally prepared written statements.
And I just want to add to that, that all of this work is not easy. It's not done. It's not done by just a couple of people. It is a lot of people are involved. I am personally involved in this for last 3 years, almost 3 years. There are guys who have been in this struggle for over 20 years, naming Mr. Price. He's been in forefront of fighting for the right of the cab drivers for so long and so hard with only, limited resources. And that is why it is so important for every driver to get involved, to become part of a member of the association, to participate in the meetings, to come to the hearings, to come to the rally whenever, the associations call for a rally. Basically, every one of us needs to get involved. Because if we don't, it's our jobs and our future is at stake.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers here on WUST Washington with Haminat Bizuayu and Ali, members of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And Ali is also a member of Dominion, which hosts this show. Haminat, your response to being called, as well as Ali and the other drivers, a mob, and that comment came from Dina Reed, who at the time was the interim chair. Previously, she had been general counsel under Leon Swain, and now she goes back to being general counsel. She's not, now that Ron Linton has been named the new Taxi Cab Commission chair, Dina Reed is not, she doesn't go away at this point. She just returns to general counsel, and she is an individual who, as we played, referred to the drivers who attempted to submit a petition with 900-plus signatures as a mob.
Well, to call the drivers who were there to exercise their democratic rights a mob was inappropriate. We have pointed out that to her while me and Mr. Price on the same day. But on, I think Miss Dina has been there a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken, and she been working with Swain. And we all know that Swain was our number one enemy, I mean, for all taxi cab drivers, and she was the architect. So just for being her there with the new chairman, it still will not be, as far as I'm concerned, it will not be appropriate, and will continue to demand that she will be removed from that office. And I hope everyone will join me on that effort.
I think you described Leon Swain as a number one enemy, but in the press reports of late, he's been described quite favorably. He proved his integrity, I'm paraphrasing one report, by cooperating with a federal probe. And I don't know the details of that, but I do know, having sat in quite a number of meetings that he chaired, this was not a friend to democracy. This was not someone who ran a professional meeting that respected participants in any way, shape, or form. So it's kind of surprising to see the press reports portray him as some sort of reformer of any sort. But your thoughts?
We were not even questioning his integrity. What we were saying and what we believe as a cab driver is that Mr. Swain was not competent to run that as agency, that organization. That's why the image of the taxi industry went even further south during his time in the office. Mr. Swain is, I mean, let me say this. Every time I am there at the Taxi Cab Commission, I feel like I'm still in the third world country. The treatment I get, or drivers get, and every time I was purposely observe that whenever I'm there, it's unbelievable. They've been treated like an animal, to be honest with you. And that's not unacceptable in the United States of America, especially in the nation capital, Washington, D.C. And I strongly believe that Mr. Swain was removed because of his incompetence, not because of to do a favor for cab drivers. I don't believe that.
April 26, Leon Swain was fired as chair of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. A press release from Mayor Vincent Gray's office read, quote, City Administrator Alan Liu informed Mr. Swain at close of business April 26 that he would not be reappointed and thanked him for his years of service to the Taxi Cab Commission and district government. Swain was then replaced on an interim basis by Dina Reed, and now Ms. Reed returns to being general counsel to the Taxi Cab Commission with the appointment of Ron Linton as chair. Directly after Mayor Gray's July 27th press conference announcing the new chair, I caught up with Linton. While much of what he had to say was encouraging, these comments were somewhat concerning. I want to play them and get your response, Haminat and Ali. Here is Ron Linton just after Mayor Gray named him chair of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission.
My understanding is the 1985 Taxicab Commission Establishment Act calls for 3 industry representatives to be on the commission. Presently, there are none. There are 3 vacancies open.
I think there's 2, isn't there? I'd have to look at that. But I think the question we have to ask is, do you want public hearings? I mean, what's the purpose of public hearings if you have a commission where everybody already has a position? I don't have a position. I want to know what the facts are. I want to know who gets help, who gets hurt, how do you make this fair and balanced? If I represent an interest group, or if I stand up at the beginning and say, here's what I think about it, it doesn't become a commission. It's a dictatorship.
Are you referring to drivers? Because right now there's not a single driver. Are you referring to them as a special interest group?
Well, of course they are. They're interested in drivers, and they have a right to be. But the decision isn't going to be made by the drivers sitting at the table and the consumers sitting at the table arguing with each other. That isn't the way you want to do this.
Some are concerned that the reason they've gotten to this point where there's been so much turmoil is because drivers have been completely left out of the political process.
No, they won't be. They won't be. They'll be in the process. It's not a political process. It's a rational process to let everybody get clear what the impact is on them. Drivers deserve a reasonable return on their labor. They have tough jobs. There's just anybody wants to be a taxi driver because they think it's easy, blessings on them. That's a tough job. And those drivers deserve a fair return on their labor. The people who invested it deserve a fair return on their investments. But at the same time, the users are entitled to quality service and a fair charge. And what the commission has to do is find out where that balance is.
If I'm understanding you correctly, are you opposed to drivers being on the taxicab commission?
No, I'm not opposed or in favor of anything until I get a chance to really examine what we're doing. Because if you want, if it might be okay, well, let's put them on the commission. Then why do you need public hearings? I mean, if all the parties are on the commission, why do we need public hearings? They will come into the commission meetings and state their positions. You see what I'm saying?
That was the new Taxicab Commission Chair, Ron Litton, speaking directly after Mayor Gray's July 27th press conference. You can listen to the full interview as well as Mayor Gray, the introduction of him and his Q&A with the local press corps at thefightback.org. Hyman and Ali, I want to get your response to Ron Litton being named chair and also to those comments. Go ahead, Ali.
Well, I think Mr. Linton, if he wants to listen to what the drivers are concerned about and what they are asking for, well, my number one demand from him would be to protect and secure our ownership right. I can go in detail. I know we are short of time. I would kindly ask him to increase the rates to a level where the drivers can afford to live in D.C., the third most expensive city in the country. I would want him to immediately stop the hack inspectors harassing the drivers and giving $1,000 fines for minor violations like not carrying your insurance card with you or having a low or high tire pressure for those kind of stuff. And the other thing I would want Mr. Linton to do is clean the house in the taxicab commission's office. Those people who are working in that office are unprofessional, they are rude, they are disrespectful to the drivers, and that kind of treatment should stop.
I actually asked a number of drivers this week at the gas station, we'll be airing those interviews next week, what suggestions they have for the new taxicab commissioner, Ron Litton. Hyman, your response to Ron Litton being named chair, as well as to his comments regarding the composition of the taxicab commission?
Yeah. During the press conference, it happened to be I was there on that day, and what Mr. Linton said was that prior to his introduction on that day, he was he spent 4 or 5 days reading the Title 31 and to make himself familiar with industry, And from that, I can understand that Mr. Linton doesn't have a full understanding of the tax cap commission, I mean, the tax cap industry yet, and he's not familiar with the law, because the 1985 is the law, is what called for representation. So when Mr. Linton go as stay on the office further and review all these documents, maybe he will make himself aware that it is the 1985 tax commission, the law, which requires our representation on the tax cap commission. And hopefully he will change his mind when he reads that. Other than that, I mean, the Small Business Association of the cab drivers are in the process of arranging a meeting with him. And during that meeting, we will raise those important points Mr. Ali already mentioned regarding the fare, how can expect the abuse, and the treatment what we receive at the tax cap commission, and things like that, and even including the Title 31. So hopefully, I mean, we saw his resume. It looks like very impressive. It's very impressive resume. Hopefully, he's going to be a good regulator and administrator. And I don't think what happened during Swain will happen here. And that's our hope. And we have to. It's a wait and we have to have a wait and see attitude here.
Do you have anything? June 22nd, reporter Jim Epstein of Reason TV and I were arrested at a public meeting of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Directly following our arrest, there were calls to eliminate the Taxi Cab Commission. This is actually the first question I asked Ron Litton, and he thought that the Taxi Cab Commission could go forward. You can hear him say that in his own words. I'm paraphrasing a bit. The Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers is opposed to the elimination of the Taxi Cab Commission, fearing that if taxi regulation is folded into a much larger agency like DDOT, drivers will get lost in the shuffle. Here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, we hosted a debate with drivers and two of the leading voices calling for the restructuring of the Taxi Cab Commission, Mike DeBonis of the Washington Post and David Alpert of Greater Greater Washington. Haimanat and Ali, you both took part in this debate. I wanted to play from a clip of it and get your response. It begins with Haimanat.
Well, our number one concern is that if the Taxi Cab Commission is being eliminated and the regulating authorities given or placed under the Department of Transportation or any other larger agency, that the voice of the drivers will not be heard. We all agree with Mike and Mr. Albert that there is a problem at the Task Cab Commission today. But that problem, we believe that as a driver, can be fixed. Fixing the problem is much better than just eliminating the Taxi Cab Commission altogether. Because I think the problem is not with the structure of the institution. We believe that the problem is with the people who are assigned there without having knowledge of the industry, or maybe those people assigned there as commissioners are not getting proper compensation for the time. And then because of that, they are not going to really a good job there. And that makes everything look bad. So that it's a matter of fixing the commission, not eliminating the commission.
It seems to me that – do you want to jump in, Mike?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It seems to me that one of the reasons we've gotten in this position and you know, drivers for years have been calling for the Taxi Cab Commission to follow the law and have industry reps on it. And that's been ignored. And then now we see with the arrest on June 22nd and the following after a huge amount of discussion – and yet, drivers' voices, in a lot of instances, it seems, are still to the side. And yet, talk a bit about the Small Business Association. It represents some 4,000 drivers. And so it seems like it should be at the table when discussing taxi cab issues.
Yeah, that's what we have been saying for years now, especially during the previous mayor, that all the authority was taken away from the commission. And because of that, it really makes our industry look bad in the eye of the public. If there is even a policy, I mean, there is a policy. It is true that there is a policy. That policy, if properly implemented, will be, I think, will govern the industry in a very, very better and effective way. But the problem is not being that policy is not being properly applied, because the people who are there either are not interested in doing that because of their the time, or maybe they don't really understand the industry at all. I mean, I know that there is maybe a complaint, and in that enforcement issue, I mean, enforcement issue can be strengthened by maybe placing the enforcement issue back to the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department, instead of leave it with the 7 or 8, or I believe there are 16 taxi hack inspectors. So enforcement can be strengthened that way, and the policy already there, and it can be very effective, and no need to eliminate the taxi cab commission.
I just wanted to add one thing, and just to commend Hymenot and everyone for actually getting together with the Small Business Association to have one collective voice for the owner-operators, which in the past I know has been an issue, is that there just hasn't been organization. There hasn't been political organization and just people speaking with one voice. And I think that if you can keep this up, if there is a definite voice of the independent taxi cab driver, I think you'll be surprised at how much you can influence this debate in a way that it hasn't happened before. As David was saying, you can talk to your council members, you can talk to the executive bureaucracy, you can talk to the taxi cab commission, and to be organized is a great thing and a powerful thing.
David Alpert, do you want to jump in before I get Ali's thoughts?
I just completely agree with what Mike just said. There are a lot of whatever ends up being done with the taxi commission. I think the obviously the real important issue is the actual taxi policy, and there are a lot of areas of policy in the city where there are well organized groups that are able to advocate for the needs of certain folks and make sure that their voices are heard, and that's very effective. I would love to have on Greater Washington, for example, I'm sure in the Post we'll be seeing, some more discussion about some of these actual policy issues. What should we do to improve the way that taxis operate and to make things better for both drivers and riders? That's really going to be the conversation we need to have going forward. And having drivers organized with spokespeople who can, effectively advocate for the issues that are facing drivers, it's going to be very powerful, and I think a lot of people are going to be listening.
That's the voice of David Alpert at Greater Washington. Mike DeBonis?
I just wanted to add one thing. There's been a lot of talk about in the context of the Medallion Bill that, we have these powerful lobbyists. Everyone talks about how this is being done at the behest of Jerry Schaefer, who's paying John Ray to introduce this bill. Well, you organize and you have a voice at the table every bit as powerful as John Ray's or, Jerry Schaefer or anyone else. That's the power of this process. And, I think what we're seeing is, okay, the people who have money and influence and power can sort of buy themselves a seat at, their position, can get at least get the discussion going about it. I think that the independent drivers are saying that, you have the same power to start a discussion and sort of change that discussion in your favor. You can pay for your own lobbyists, but you don't really even have to do that. You just have to be organized and speaking in one voice.
That was Washington Post reporter Mike DeBonis and Greater Washington founder and editor-in-chief David Alpert speaking here on The Voice of DC Cab Drivers last month. In these last moments, I want to get your final responses, Ali and Hymenot, as we really look at just 5 months. We've had the introduction of the Medallion Bill, and all the infrastructure, the organizational infrastructure, was already in place thanks to the existence of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. It's been an amazing 5 months. Hymenot, your final thoughts?
Well, I just want to say this. Being organized is very, very important. And I believe in an organization. When we are organized, there is nothing that we cannot stop. If anyone try to take our business away from us or do anything to us. So I encourage each and every driver of the taxi cab driver of Washington, D.C. to become a member of the Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers. And for those of you who want to become a member of the association, I will repeat, you can go to any one of the driver-owned companies like UBC, which is 2711 26th Street Northeast, Grand 1718 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast, and Challenger Cab, also right one block away from the UBC office. And please become a member. Give us your information, contact information. We can contact you immediately and update you in what's going on regarding our industry.